Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, with your host, Adam Emmert.
Is he half, like, cowboy, half Japanese? Nope. Like, who is this guy?
And Jared Tim.
Could you imagine John Elway riding Thunder? I love Thunder.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, your Seahawks and Broncos podcast, with a West Coast bias. Coming at you today from an absolutely beautiful Missoula, Montana. I'm your co-host, Seahawks fan, Adam Emmert. Across the table from me is the man who gave up his virginity a lot like the Broncos give up points fast and easy. Broncos fan, Jared Tim. How are you today, buddy?
Good, man. Actually, this is the first time all season that there's only one undefeated person in this entire room.
That's true.
And that's me. True.
Yeah, it was.
Not all of our wins are pretty.
No, they're not.
But they're all wins.
Well, hey.
And that's a plus.
When our wins happen, you know, they're wins too.
But I've started to notice something as this season's gone on.
Yeah.
It's only week five.
Yeah.
And I know that there's just a change in the air, you know, inside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I've noticed that this is going on with you, too.
Yeah.
Is that I'm starting to despise the Seahawks.
Yeah. It's actually, maybe my difference is a little different from yours. My change that I found is that, you know, I still root for the Broncos as much as I used to, which isn't a lot. But, you know, I don't wish them ill will. I'm just starting to hate you more.
Well, my hatred for the Seahawks is because of you.
Like, well, yeah. And I figured that's where the root of that was.
And I figured this was going your way, too, because I remember when we were watching the Broncos and the Eagles game.
Yeah.
LeSean McCoy had his first, like, decent 5-6 yard run of the game. And you go, yeah, like, emphatically, like, Broncos are going to lose. Like, just, you were crazed over it. I was like, for the Eagles, are we?
I don't know that I was crazed over it, but I did.
Oh, you were excited.
Well,
You were so excited that a play had gone against me.
I definitely went with a yes. Okay. And,
I thought it was a little more enthusiastic than that.
Yeah. You know, but with that said, there's a lot of other teams I'd like to see lose more than the Broncos, that's for sure. So we're going to get into a lot about the Broncos today, and I don't even know if you can say shootout. It was more like
it was a total
war.
Fucking shootout.
Yeah.
It was one of those games where they immediately put it on the NFL Network to rewatch it.
Yeah.
A lot of points generated, a lot of points. You don't see games like this very often.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just got to take it for what it's worth. It was a fun game to watch.
Yes.
A lot of offense, a lot of fireworks, but
probably, you know, the most entertaining game to watch on Sunday, and I think a close second was the Seahawks game. Those were probably the two most exciting games.
I liked the Andrew Luck, you know, Russell Wilson battle. It was pretty good.
It was pretty good. So we'll get into both of those here. We're also going to review today the Ninkasi Brewing Company's Total Domination IPA.
Sounds as dirty as that. It is as dirty as it sounds.
It dominates your taste buds in just the way that you want to be dominated, like a consensual domination. So,
consensual is the key word there, gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So really liking that. So we'll get into a bit more of that. So and as always, towards the end of the podcast, we'll get into the NFL segment. We'll go over last week's winners and losers.
In the picks.
So yes, Brandon, I will have the picks up to make here today, since you did beat me out this week on that. It was a tough week in picks. Tough weeks in picks.
I don't even know what the final my final tallies were. I didn't even see them.
I haven't either, to be honest. I mean, I know that they're there. I just have yet to add them up. So
okay,
I'm going to do that on the break. So we'll kind of go from there. So anyways, well, that's it, Jared.
Let's get into it.
It's donkey spit time.
Let's do this.
Okay, 50-48.
51-48.
Oh, 51-48.
Come on, man. Don't shortchange us. Oh, second most points scored in Broncos history.
I don't know. After that many points, you know, that's just you fuck it. You know,
there are some good things and bad. Anytime a game is this highly scored, I guess,
yeah,
and it goes both ways,
yeah,
there are going to be some good points and there are going to be some problems.
A lot of plays.
That's a lot of plays on both sides. So I just want to go over some of the good things. You know, we played five games now, and every single game our offense gets better, and not one single team has even tried to stop us at all, it seems like. I mean,
yeah,
nobody's figured out. It doesn't matter the competition. 5 weeks into the NFL, and nobody has even come close to trying to figure out what Peyton Manning's doing out there.
Yeah, and on the
so that's a plus to me. I really enjoy seeing this. I like how we're not kind of settling into these games that maybe be a little lower in our competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, such as the Raiders game.
Yeah, you're not.
But
playing
nobody's
down
even slowing
to
us down
competition.
Yet. No,
you're not playing. I mean, I just like the Seahawks, you guys have only beaten one team with a winning record. That's your guys' fault. I mean, you just got to play the people that are on your schedule.
Exactly.
But at least you're not playing down to that level. It'll be interesting to see if you guys are able to sustain that level of points against a tougher opponent or a harder defense, or especially an offense that's able to, you know, keep the ball maybe a little bit longer, just keep it out of Peyton Manning's hands just a little bit more.
Right.
But, you know, that's all stuff that we'll see later on in the season. I'm not saying that I think that's going to be a downfall for you guys in any way, shape, or form. But
I don't think so either.
Because you can't, like I said, you can't blame somebody for their schedule. It is what it is.
Well, that and I mean, nobody has made any sort of adjustments to our offense whatsoever to even slow us down.
Yeah.
And so to me, 5 weeks into the NFL, and there's, you know, now at this point, there's 5 weeks of film. Before we played the Cowboys, there were four, and nobody's even shown anything to try to contain us whatsoever.
You guys have struggled on offense is the first half of your first game against the Ravens.
Exactly, you know, it's just been full bore since then. Yeah. You know, a couple of things that I do like is our receivers and our tight ends are just impossible to cover. There are mismatches all over the field. What I liked about the win that we had was we were down 14 early. Eric Decker had that fumble. Tony Romo kept his rhythm. We still couldn't get a pass rush.
Yeah.
And we were down 14, completely unfazed.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was fazed at all. We came back. We got ahead. And then, of course, in the end of the game, after that Manning interception, we were down again. Nobody even batted an eye. Our defense tightened up. Offense kept rolling. And it was just like we weren't even down at all. So, you know, the grit to go on the road, playing a big, huge, gigantic arena.
Yeah.
We had a sack and an interception to seal the deal in the end of the game. I believe we tightened up.
The sack, I give credit to the Broncos for. The interception, I give credit to Tony Romo for doing what Tony Romo does.
So I actually figured you were going to say that.
Well, no, I'm not saying that's a bad play by you guys.
I know how you are against the Broncos versus grading your own team. Well, just hear me out here.
I'm just blaming Tony Romo appropriately.
Just hear me out. So here's what Adam says against, in your guys' win versus Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Schaub makes a horrendous throw and Richard Sherman picks it off.
Yeah.
All you said was glory, glory, hallelujah, Sherman. That was it.
Not that it
was a bad decision. You were like, Sherman saves the day, blah, 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 blah. Same exact situation. If they played defense right where they should have to put themselves in position to make a play, you completely hail Sherman the entire time, but not once did you say Danny Trevathan made a good play. Not a single time. But this is who you are, and I expected
come. Why would I be talking about Trevathan when I'm talking about the Sherman pick six?
No, when this came up in our game, not once did you give Trevathan any sort of credit whatsoever. All you said was that was a horrendous throw.
Because
the Matt Schaub, you didn't say it was a horrendous throw at all.
Oh, that
you
was a horrendous throw.
The
it was a terrible
Sherman.
Decision. And not only that, the coach put Schaub in a bad position there because he dialed up a play they used.
Oh, it's the coach's fault.
No, not at all. You're telling me not to give credit to just the player. So I'm giving the coach the blame for the Texans for calling a shitty play and putting Matt Schaub in a bad position to where he got in a bad spot and then made a bad decision.
Okay,
so
but on the Broncos side of it, you again laughed off the Danny Trevathan interception as to maybe he had no credit deserved whatsoever.
I just was
laughing. So then what is it about?
I was just laughing at how fucking terrible Tony Romo is when it comes down to clutch moments. Like, it's just an indictment on Tony Romo. It has nothing to do with what I think about the guy that picked it off. Who was it, Webster? I mean,
no, it was Danny Trevathan.
Well, Trevathan, whatever.
I just went over this.
I got Trevathan and Kayvon Webster mixed up. So anyway,
it was a good play. You know, he baited the quarterback. He was standing right behind him, and this is an interception like this. Same thing with a fumble, a forced fumble. It takes two sides. It's 50% defense, 50% offense. So
yeah,
Trevathan was playing behind him to bait him, and this is Romo's fault for not really getting into his film study enough to realize that Trevathan has this type of quickness and speed to jump that route when normally a linebacker is not going to be able to jump that route. He did. He made a nice diving catch. I thought he played it pretty well. You know, if Nate Irving is back there, he's not going to be able to jump that route.
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying, I'm not saying 50-50. That Trevathan didn't make a bad play. I mean, he made a great play.
I thought it was an awesome play. I still think our defense tightened up in the end of the game.
I don't
to seal
think
the
you
deal.
Can ever really say that your defense tightened up when you give up 48 points. This is basically all my point is with that.
All right, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was just to contain our receivers, their defense, they committed three penalties against our receivers in the first half.
Yeah.
Two of them were holding penalties, and one was a pass interference call. And this just goes to show you the trouble that defenses are having in trying to contain what we're doing. There's almost no way around it. I mean, Julius Thomas had 9 catches, 122 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That was ridiculous.
I'm not surprised to see Peyton Manning tear up the Cowboys defense.
He'll tear up any defense.
Well, yeah.
We are a mismatch for every single secondary in the NFL.
You guys
there's
are
no way around
you
it.
You guys are going to score points against any defense. That's
against
for sure.
Anybody.
But
That's all there is.
I don't think it's going to be this epic against.
To be honest, I think the only team that could really keep up with this right now would be the Saints. That's really the only team. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
They're the only team playing up to our standards. You know, everybody else is making mental mistakes. They're doing all sorts of shit, you know?
I mean, I'll agree to disagree with that one, but that's fine.
Well, that's fine. I know you want to make a Seahawks reference there, but, you know, your guys' defense has lost you three games in the last, what, maybe six or seven? There was the Bears game last year, the Falcons game,
and then
this
one. Oh, so now
we're
talking about last year, too. Okay.
Well, you know, you guys kind of failed to seal the deal on the end of the game. But, I mean, another couple of bonuses in our game was no Sean Moreno, man. Twice we had these third downs, and his second effort is what got us the first down to continue a drive, and he's just been playing out of his mind. I mean, I don't think, as long as he's healthy, that anyone's going to start ahead of him. I don't think Monte Ball's going to start ahead
Moreno's
of him.
No, Moreno's clearly
I don't
the
think
best
Ronnie Hillman's going to start in front of him.
I like Moreno's game a lot. He's been running hard. He's polished. He's a pro. I think this is one of those years where his mental game and his physical game has all come together.
And he's got these stiff arms coming, too, from nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, it does help that you have Peyton Manning setting up the run game. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. And he's taking full advantage of that opportunity. And he's great in pass blocking. I think I think Sean Moreno is having an absolutely great season.
Well, and it was nice that we rushed over 100 yards because that's kind of been a point of emphasis. Yeah. We want to be balanced.
Yeah.
And, you know, we ran the ball over 30 times.
Yeah.
We gained over 100 yards. And this was a Dallas defense I was ranked in the top 10 in rushing D. So I was good to see that. I was kind of curious to see how that happened. And, you know, we ran the ball pretty effectively, especially there late when we had to. You know, we got a bunch of crucial first downs that were on run plays of over 5 or 6 yards.
That's how you seal a game.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I like the grit in the game. We just never fluttered when we were down.
That's one thing I wanted to give the Broncos a lot of credit to, because this is one of those places. See, I'm not just a total fucking hater.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you totally are. You're in such denial about being a hater, but it's funny to me because still 5-0.
I say Moreno's having a great season and that I'm going to give them a ton of credit for showing a lot of grit and a hard-fought victory, because this was the first game that you guys have really been tested.
Absolutely, legitimately tested.
Where you look at that and like there was actual points in this game where it could have gotten a little out of hand and you could have ended up with a loss. But you guys were mentally tough enough to go out there and still seal the deal. And whether that's running the ball a little bit more towards the end of the game or, you know, generating a sack and, you know, just doing those things to be able to close a game. I think that's something you guys have needed to this point, was somebody to test you a little bit, to gain a little bit of that mental edge. And you gain a little bit of a mental edge when you start to win some close games. And I think that's a good thing. It was good experience for the team, and I think it's something that you guys can build off of. I think it's a good thing.
I'm a hater. You really struggled to compliment the Broncos. I can see it in your eyes.
How was that a struggle? That felt genuine.
I mean, all of what you said is why I'm looking forward to going to Indianapolis to play them. I think that'll be a good game.
I do, too. I think that'll be interesting to see, you know, again, just quality of opponent. Like, Indy was one of the better teams that we faced to this point.
Right.
And so, because really, we only have one win over a team with a winning record as well. And
oh, that would be the Niners, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you look at that. And the Indy team was definitely something that you could measure yourself against. And
I kind of like the way our schedule is actually going to finish out in the second half, too. I mean,
a lot of
and
more
in the first
games.
Half we play Indy, but I like having to play Kansas City, New
Twice.
England, Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, I like these games that are going to be coming up.
I do, too. I think that's good. I was actually looking at the schedule today just for that very reason, concerning your guys kind of going forward.
All of a sudden, the Chiefs are
because you've had some, you know, some cakewalks coming up, you know, through the schedule here at the beginning of the year as far as quality of opponent, which is fine. I mean, that's like I said, you got to play who's on your schedule,
just like this next
game. You know, what you worry about is having those soft teams towards the end of your schedule, because at that point, then maybe you're not, you know, as mentally tough going into the playoffs.
That's what happened to us last year.
Yeah. So this way you have some more quality opponents coming up to even gauge yourself, or even if you do end up with a loss or two throughout that stretch, you can find those things to work on.
And at least you know what it feels like.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of knowing what losses feel like going into the playoffs.
Look, I do too. I don't like my team going into the playoffs undefeated.
It's a nightmare.
It's not good.
It's not good because you don't know what it's like to lose. And if you don't know what it's like to lose, chances are you haven't been down a lot in games. And so if you get down in the playoffs, are you going to know how to come back?
You got to know how to deal with adversity. And then you also have to have the belief that you have to know you're going to win.
And I mean, this was the Cowboys. The Cowboys aren't the strongest team, but all over.
They played better than I expected them to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you got their best shot on that day.
I hope so.
I mean, that offense did not look that good against the San Diego defense.
No, they didn't, and that's because San Diego got a pass rush on them.
Yeah,
and that's one of the bad things that I'm going to get to.
And their run defense didn't look nearly as good against San Diego as it looked way better against San Diego than it did against you guys.
Right.
And you know, but Phillip Rivers torched them, you know, as well. But
yeah, he had over 400 yards. Yeah, you know,
but whatever.
But yeah, I like the way we still held Dallas. You know, in the first half they were trying to run the ball even when they were ahead.
Yeah,
and they didn't. You know, we're still the number one ranked rushing defense in the league. And so I like that. I like these things. I thought Kayvon Webster did a good job against Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
You know, there were a couple times Dez Bryant had a good game.
Well, he's a monster.
He's a monster. And this is Kayvon Webster's first year.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had a forced fumble, which was good. He was there in the mix for coverages. And, you know, he got a lot of playing time just because we ended up losing Robert Ayers, Chris Harris, Wesley Woodyard. So in that first half, when we were down 14-0, and then we ended up turning it around, we were actually ahead. Our guys started dropping like flies, and this just leads to the number one problem that we have, and that's a lack of a pass rush. The issue I have with this is nobody is talking about it.
Really?
And
it was one
this.
Of the things I wanted to bring up, but not in a confrontational manner, because
it's so obvious.
What it is right now.
It's so freaking obvious, you know, and I don't hear anybody talking about it. I don't hear the Broncos organization talking about it. I think it's because they don't want to maybe discourage guys.
Sure.
You know, we're getting some here and there, and, you know, you got to credit Romo on a couple of those. I actually hit the replay button on a couple of those ones he scored it out of. That was impressive. But you can't let that kind of shit happen.
But the majority of the time, you know, Romo would drop back to pass, make a swing set, finish it up, watch his kids go down the slide a couple times,
man.
Drink a beer, pick up the ball, and then throw it.
Go give his wife a kiss up in the fucking press box.
Yeah.
He had all day to throw.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was looking, I watched the coach's cam on this game.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see what our coverage was like.
Right.
Our coverage was awesome the entire game. You know, we had, you know, 2 to 3 breakdowns, which is going to happen in a game where a couple guys came open. But for the most part, Tony Romo had all day to throw, and he needed it because the coverage was good. But when you got 5 seconds to throw a ball, something's going to give. And it did all game long, 500 fucking yards.
You give a professional quarterback in this league that kind of time.
It's going to happen. Blaine Gabbert could have thrown for 500 yards against us.
I was just going to say, even if he's a bottom-tier quarterback, you know? You're a professional quarterback, and you can throw the ball a little bit.
As long as you got time to have – and these receivers know that Tony Romo can get out of a tough spot, and they can get open. And so it's so – I mean, you saw how frustrated I was just watching these yards upon yards just be racked up. And it shouldn't have been this bad of a shootout, but we could not get a pass rush whatsoever.
Nope.
And like you said when we were watching the game, he goes, this is the first time – that I've seen the Broncos legitimately miss Von Miller.
Yes.
And, you know, he did what he did. There's no excuse for it. But there's also no excuse for us not generating any sort of pass rush whatsoever. We haven't done it all year yet.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'm looking forward to is, you know, I think I've talked to a lot of Broncos fans, especially over the last 2 weeks about these games and the lack of pass rush, because it's definitely it's the one thing that concerns me, because when your coverage is so great, it doesn't matter if you don't generate a pass rush. It doesn't matter whatsoever.
No.
You can stop the run, you can have great coverage, but you're still going to get beat downfield if you can't get to the quarterback.
That's exactly right.
And a lot of Broncos fans are expecting us to just have this pass rush come, you know, the Indianapolis game when Von Miller comes back. I'm not expecting us to increase our pass rush gigantically because he hasn't played all year yet. He doesn't have the chemistry with these new guys that we have this season. So I think he'll be effective. But I don't think it's going to be this waterworks of sacks that everybody's predicting when he comes back.
And that's actually a question I was going to ask you, because, like you said, it's one guy. Now, is he a prolific guy? Yes.
He's a superstar, and that's why we brought him in, is to be a superstar.
Right. But, you know, let's say he had played the whole season. You know, a large sack total is what, like 13, right?
Yeah.
Like in a season?
Yeah.
That's less than one a game
when
you think out on average. But so having one guy come in and making that huge of an impact you wonder a little bit. But, you know, one great guy does free up other guys, too. So if
if we looked at
your guys' pass rush right now, and on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put it right now?
Oh, man, I would put us maybe at a 4 or 5. It's that bad.
Yeah, I'd say a 4. That's
thinking. Just now, to be fair, it's about 4. It's pretty accurate.
Yeah, you know, slightly below average.
Yeah.
You know, with Vaughn coming back, what do you think that bumps you up to at that point? Where do you think that increases you?
After two games, just because of like what you said, you know, when I was thinking this, I always argue with myself in my own head.
Yeah, I know. Me and all my voices, we have an ongoing
thing. So where I was thinking, I don't think it's going to be an onslaught of sacks this game. But I was also thinking about what happened last year is when he draws a double team and the protection slides to wherever he's at. Sean Phillips is playing well this season. Robert Ayers went out. We don't know when he's going to come back, but he's been playing well too. But when you got Sean Phillips and Robert Ayers kind of mixing up the double teams, and Derek Wolfe's inside just not getting anything against these big guards or center, it makes it tough. So if Von Miller's drawn a double team every time, it frees up everybody else to run stunts and things like this. And this is why we were so effective in our pass rush last year. And it flusters quarterbacks, and so you won't give up these points. So I'm looking forward to seeing how our defense reacts to Von Miller coming back, because I don't think we're going to give up this many yards anymore, just because I think we're going to pressure a quarterback a lot more. You know, I don't think he's going to solve our defense completely. We have a lot of work to do chemistry wise. We got a lot of coverages we still got to work on, but Von Miller, man, we're missing him big time. Just the matchup problems that he has. He's good against a run too. I can't wait till he comes back. I hope it solves a lot of our problems, but it's mainly that pass rush. We have got to get everybody on the same page on that pass rush, because man, we were barely even pushing the pocket.
I don't know. I mean, watching it, it didn't feel like there was a lot of blitzing going on either. It was a lot of just four-man rushes as well.
Well, at that point, so when you lose Chris Harris and Wesley Woodyard, you lose two cover guys in their respectable positions. What this does is we hold off the blitz because we don't have the talent to go man-to-man. So we're holding off the blitz. We're running zone. He's got all day. And there was just no way around it. Jack Del Rio had to have looked at his defense, you know, as decimated as it was, and this is where it'd be nice to have a Champ Bailey in there for depth. You're looking at it, you go, I hope Tony Romo makes a mistake, because there's nothing we're going to be able to do at this point. We have no pass rush. We're running zones because we don't have the guys. We have rookies out there trying to play man-to-man. It was a complete fucking debacle in the second half.
It was tough. I mean, it was tough to watch on a defensive side of the ball for you guys, for sure. But, I mean, I remember, you know, Cowboys get the ball right there at the end of the game on that last drive, and I turn to you on the couch and I say, isn't this a spot where Tony Romo makes a big mistake right
here? I was so fucking pissed you said that, because I was thinking that. I was like, that's motherfuckers trying to jinx my team. I was like, dude, shut up, man. Of course this is a situation Tony Romo fucks up. Just don't say it, you know?
I don't know. You know, I figured I'd try a reverse jinx there, and, you know, it didn't work because Romo's anti-clutchness.
Reverse jinx. Thank God he did that. You know, against any other linebacker out there that was on the field, he's going to complete that pass. But he threw it against the one guy he wasn't going to complete it to, and you just can't make that decision.
I just can't figure out this guy. I mean, he passes for over 500 yards and five touchdowns in a game.
And still
is a bum. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's hard to do.
I don't understand it. You know, he plays stellar all game long. You know, only comes close to throwing an interception once or twice throughout the entire game until, bam, just Tony Romo decided he was going to lose.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I can't figure it out. I don't know if he just feels the pressure of, you know, having to carry that team because that defense really isn't that great, or if it's just a matter of, I don't know. I mean, I think
that defense is not very good. Their rushing defense has been good this season, but their pass defense is putrid.
Yeah, but their pass defense
is horrible.
It's pretty bad.
It's fucking terrible. They've been getting lit up by everybody that's faced them, you know? Yeah. And, you know, this game for us doesn't help their stats, of course. You know, these last two games, if you get 800 yards thrown against you in two games, that's bad. You know, we're close to that.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Jaguars may even have a win if they play in the NFC East right now. Like,
they hung 20 points last week, the Jags did.
Yeah. They'll put up points, you know, here and there in garbage time when everybody's playing their second string. That's what we did anyway.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
Yeah.
But you know, I mean,
it was a defensive struggle.
Yeah, I'm just so pissed about watching my defense, and there's just nothing they can do. You just got to breathe sometimes. You got to breathe.
Well, this is a bit of your guys' style of play, too. I mean, that kind of feeds into
those shootout kind of situations.
Yeah, that accentuates maybe the problems that you have with the pass rush right now because, you know, it's that hurry up offense and score quickly.
And we give their offense back the ball so
right back on the field. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of compounds upon itself a little bit.
Yeah, you can dig yourself a hole with this offense. And so, you know, it's trial and error. It was a fifth week in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So you're going to find out that however you match up with the team, you're going to have to try to move your offense according to that team a little bit. And I think we found that out in this game.
Yeah.
That we can't just run and shoot the entire game. Sometimes you got to take the ball out of another offense's hands, you know, instead of just scoring five plays and get it done.
I'd actually be really surprised if we don't see over the course of the season the Broncos switching – a little more to the run. I mean, I don't know what percentage your guys' run plays are right now. I would guess it's pretty low.
You know,
it's
we threw 42 times last game and ran 31. So last game, we're getting more towards a balance as the 5 weeks have gone on.
Right.
But like you said, that progression of the run, I think, is going to be coming a lot more now, especially since we have Dresden back, Tammy's back. So we have really good run-blocking tight ends. And we're running a lot of two tight end sets anyway. So, and yeah, I've been saying it for a while. And I know you'd mentioned this before, is when you get to these cold weather games towards the latter part of the season or in the playoffs, you're going to have to run the ball. What I do like about what we're doing is we are making a really solid effort to run the ball. Yeah. And we ran it pretty well last game. You know, Noshon had 19 carries for 93 yards. He also had five catches for 57 yards.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as we can have him and Ronnie Hillman coming out of the backfield still to throw out of, but we need to run play action. That's where Peyton Manning's most effective. But you got to be able to run the ball.
Yeah. I mean, every quarterback thrives in play action when you can run the ball. I mean, and there's a reason for it, because it's a beautiful way to play football.
Right.
There's a reason for that, you know, and it's just, it sucks the linebackers up for just that half a second more, or just causes them to hesitate and you know, guys get open.
Right.
You know, one thing that is got to be still very encouraging for you guys is the play of your guys' offensive line to this point. Because, you know, kind of like how you were talking about, if you can't generate a pass rush, no matter how good your coverage is, you're going to get torn up.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, too, I mean, you know, whatever receiving core you throw out on the field, if your offensive line is giving your quarterback, you know, 5-6 seconds to make a decision, boy, he's going to find somebody that's open.
Right.
You know?
And if you don't give him that kind of time, you know, I'm not picking on you guys, but you guys have had to Band-Aid some offensive line midway through the season. That's hard.
We'll get to that in the Seahawks section. Our offensive line right now is really tough, and you can see the adjustments that they've made to try to compensate for
that.
And
you're getting better. You know, they're getting
a little better. We're surviving.
Yeah.
We're surviving.
But, you know, our injuries on the offensive line weren't as devastating because we had all of the offseason to try to figure it out.
Yeah, they just came earlier.
Yeah, it came a lot earlier, so we had plenty of time.
But one thing that is a little encouraging on our end of things is that, you know, instead of Clady like being out for the year, you know, as far as Okung being injured, we do get him back eventually,
which is
so
nice,
you know, but we'll get to all that. But, you know, with your guys' offensive line, I mean, you've had some time to be cohesive. Not that that's an excuse. You have to still play really well otherwise. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, they've really come together, and just watching that, it makes it really, really difficult for anybody to match up.
It does.
And I'm trying to think of anybody in the AFC that I can think of that has a pass rush that I think could actually make you guys sweat even just a little bit.
Chiefs are kind of starting to scare me. You know, their defense is tight.
When you said that the Saints is the only team that you thought might be able to keep up with
just offensively, as far as a shootout.
Oh, yeah.
Is basically what I meant.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant just as a team as a whole.
No, the Chiefs. It's too early to even know.
Came to mind just because I do think that, you know, they're a pretty solid team.
Well, that and their offense has a way of keeping the ball for a long time. Alex Smith is very efficient, and they could do a really good job of keeping our offense off the table. I think their style of play counters what we're doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they brought in Andy Reid to Kansas City, because he knew what we were coming up with. We threw out the model last year of this is what we're going to do.
Right.
We just want to improve on this. And so I think Kansas City has geared their team towards countering everything we're doing, because they knew that this year we were the only ones that they were going to compete with.
Yeah, ball control and defense. So that clash of styles will be interesting to see. I think Indy's built a little that way too, although I don't think their defense is as good as Kansas City.
No, and they, you know, their passing defense is actually decent, Indy's is. They're actually ranked fairly well, too. It's their rushing defense that, you know, has struggled all year long.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, one more thing before I get to the Jaguars, which will be about a sentence. When you're talking about those cold weather games late in the season and kind of going into the playoffs, one thing I look about our rushing defense is we've faced Ray Rice, Darren McFadden, LeSean McCoy, and DeMarco Murray. LeSean McCoy is first in the NFL. DeMarco Murray is fourth. And we still have the number one rushing defense in the NFL. Now, I know that's not it's not anything to hang your hat on too much through the first 5 weeks, but I like the fact that we're controlling the line of scrimmage on defense as far as a run game goes just for these cold weather games. I think that's a big advantage to us.
I think you guys have played the run pretty dang well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a part of that is just the fact that teams are playing catch up for half of a game. And so they just have to abandon that run game altogether. But, you
even
know,
their
either
average
way,
per runs are still really low.
Well, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you played it well. And then also you combine that with the fact of your style of play, putting people behind the eight ball to where they have to abandon it. That doesn't devalue the stat in any way, shape, or form. Because
in a way, it kind of does. That's why I'm kind of looking to see how we play later on in the season. You know, we'll see, because we haven't played the greatest teams yet, so we'll see how that stat actually works out.
To me, it doesn't devalue it, because that just has to do with the way that you guys are playing. I mean, I don't know that that makes it any less impressive at that point, because it takes a full team. Like, I mean, your run defense isn't just dependent on your defensive personnel. It's also dependent on your offense.
On what your offense is doing in your head, how they're trying to play to catch up.
Yeah, because football is so interconnected. So to say that just because that you guys have put up a bunch of points and that you haven't given up many rushing yards because people are coming back on you or having to try to come back through the air on you, to say that that devalues that stat is just wrong, because the offense is affecting that part of the game.
And even in the what I've noticed in the first and second quarters of these games this year is nobody's been running the ball against us in the first half actually either. And so if you can take them out of a running rhythm and kind of reduce the play action, I think that'll help us also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really just looking forward to getting Von Miller back and see what kind of pass rush this is eventually going to generate.
Because,
I mean, it obviously only makes us better having Von Miller on the field. But I'm not expecting us to hit full stride on defense right away. I just think that's irrational.
One thing that I wonder a little bit, you know, you talk about the pass rush and then just Peyton Manning's history. Pretty much the one year that they won the Super Bowl with the Colts, the formula was Peyton Manning dominating on offense.
And then Mathis and Freeney.
And Mathis and Freeney, you know, generating a good pass rush. So to get there this year, you're going to have to win it in a different way than Peyton Manning traditionally has done it before, just because of, you know, where the defensive personnel is at this point.
And that a lot of that will have to do with the team we face, too. You know, I mean,
there's matchup. there's
all sorts of shit. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know, looking ahead,
there.
I mean, who the hell fucking knows? I mean, there's a million things that can come into play. Like, how many fucking random things happen in that Indy game with the Seahawks? Like, just
all sorts of shit.
Just, you never know. Like, it's the NFL, man. Like, random shit happens.
You know, and even through 5 weeks of the NFL, I have not seen one team that has put a complete game together. Offensively,
that's very,
and defensively.
Very true.
Not one single team is ready for the playoffs in week five.
That is
and
very true.
Every once in a while, you'll get those teams. Like the Saints in 09, they looked like they were ready. You know, there's been some teams like the Packers that year when they were struggling. You're like, well, you can kind of see the flashes of who they're going to be. But there's nobody who's ready for the playoffs right now. Not a single team in the NFL is ready for playoff time.
I completely agree with
that. So everything is just completely up in the air.
Yeah. And teams, you know, ebb and flow throughout the course of a year. I mean, you see some teams get stronger and some teams just fall off the map.
And some teams like Atlanta and Houston just don't even get started.
Holy balls. Julio Jones out there for the year, too.
I know. Isn't that tough?
Oh, jeez. God. Well, we'll talk about more of that in the NFL segment. But
So let's look
up
ahead to Jacksonville.
The Jaguars. So I want to give you guys another congratulations here, because when we played the Jaguars at home, they gave us a 22-point spread in Vegas. They're
and we're
give
28,
you guys,
huh?
28,
the highest in NFL history.
Yeah, and it's accurate.
You know, it is, but why do you got to make it so high? That's stupid, you know?
Because they don't want to lose money.
I think 3 touchdowns is fair.
No, apparently the bookies don't.
But, I mean, this is one game where I'm hoping we can get some. I'm not trying to overlook a Jacksonville team, but I'm going to. This is one game where I want to see some of these backups get in.
Mm-hmm.
Champ Bailey's going to play.
Brock better play.
But the reason I'm so excited about Champ Bailey coming back is Tony Carter, he's made some mistakes, but he's been highly penalized this year. And so if you have Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, Chris Harris, and Tony Carter on the field, it makes us better having DRC, Chris Harris, and Champ Bailey on the field.
I would
instead.
Totally agree with that.
And so I'm looking forward to Champ Bailey coming back and maybe seeing a little less Tony Carter at this point. I just think he's not playing as disciplined as he did last year. You know, he's going for balls, which I know that one he tipped, and that was a good play. The ball should have dropped. You know, he tipped the ball. He just he just ended up catching it anyways.
Yeah, weird shit happens.
But you never give up on a play no matter what. You never give up on a play like that.
And I have something to say about that regarding the Seahawks game coming up, too.
It happens. And, you know, he also missed that little dude, Cole something, number 11 for the fucking
Cowboys.
Oh, Beasley
or whatever.
Cole
the
Beasley,
hell
that's
it?
Who he is.
Yeah, Jesus.
He runs this little 5-yard out, and Tony Carter overshoots him, misses the tackle, he gets a first down.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of shit that he's been doing all season.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward
to
seeing.
Is that Danny Woodhead's cousin, Beasley? Look at that guy.
They're about the same height.
Aren't there a couple of little Woodheads out there?
They are. He's tough, too, and he runs hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm we just need to give Kayvon Webster a little more time. Mm-hmm. So if he saw a lot of snaps this last game.
Yeah.
And as a rookie, you don't want to just throw him into the fire. It's nice if you can bring a rookie defensive back along slowly.
Yeah.
And so bringing Champ Bailey back, it'll give him a little more time. Maybe give Tony Carter a little more time to analyze a game before he's just playing every single play. Maybe he just wasn't used to it. I don't know. I don't want to make excuses for him. Stop making mistakes. It's, you know, it's football.
Yeah. But
I'm looking forward to Champ coming back. And, this is the last game for us to try to get healthy with those three injuries I mentioned earlier. And then it's on to Indy, which is all of a sudden a tough game.
It's a tough game.
You know, I was wrong about them early in the season, but, man, they played well. Man, I think Andrew Luck he's proved every reason why he was drafted first.
They're a little better than I would have given him credit for. Mm-hmm. I thought they'd be decent, but
I was like 10-6 on them. 10-6, 11-5 at best.
I'm not sure that they still don't finish 10-6 though.
But they're a good 10-6.
Oh yeah, no, 10-6 is a good record. Like that's a solid team.
It is solid.
They're a very solid team.
As far as Jacksonville goes, I'm just not worried about them because they're just not a good team.
They don't
have the talent that the rest of the NFL does. And again, shout out to Danny Trevathan for that interception at the end of the game.
Hey, he made it. He did. You have to make the play when it comes.
You do.
You do have to make the play when it comes. And, Tony Romo set him up for the play. So
he did. He
did. Give him credit for making the play, you know, and give Tony Romo the proper amount of blame for being
the proper amount of blame for blowing yet another game.
Man, Tony Romo. And I like the guy.
I do, too. And I think he's a competitive dude and he's tough.
Yeah.
And he's a good quarterback. He makes nice throws. It's just every once in a while, in the worst possible time, he will just completely fuck something up.
God. I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right, one more thing. On the injury front, I couldn't get any information at all as far as how these guys are doing.
I tried to look before you showed up today, and I didn't see shit.
All they were saying, Wesley Woodyard said he's good.
Okay.
That's it. All right. That's all he said. Hey, Robert Ayers.
Woodyard play, Woodyard don't play.
Woodyard will play.
Yeah.
Robert Ayers, I guess, left the game in a sling. You know, he left the locker room in a sling. And that's big for us because he is basically one of our two pass rushers out there right now. He leads the team in sacks. I think he's got 4.5 at this point.
Yeah.
Chris Harris, concussed. He'll probably be back.
Sure.
But,
okay.
You know, that's it. Here we go, Jacksonville, and then it's on to the next week.
Yeah.
You know, Von Miller's back.
That'll be fun. Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun.
I hope we get some experience in our backups this week.
I think you will. All right, man. Well, let's we'll rack up. Rack up?
Rack them up.
We'll rack it up. We'll rack up some more Total Domination IPA. Come back at you here with the beer review coming up next.
All right.
All right, folks. Back here. It's time for the beer review. Today, we are drinking the Total Domination IPA from Ninkasi Brewing Company based out of Eugene, Oregon. Well, everybody knows my affinity for IPAs to this point.
You're a big IPA guy.
This is a damn good beer, especially for one that's relatively widely available for folks.
It is. It's all over the Pacific Northwest, really. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in a lot of different places. It kind of spans a pretty big area.
Yes. And they introduced me to a new stat that I didn't know was used for beer, and I hope I can find this about other beers, too. It's called IBU, and that must be International Bitterness Units. And
something like that.
Yeah. So they tell me what B and U is. I made up whatever the I is. It's got a score of 65, and so think about that in terms of a pretty hoppy IPA that has a decent bite to it.
So what's the grade here? Is it between 1 and 80?
I'm not real sure.
Okay.
Hard telling, not knowing.
I couldn't tell you either.
I don't know, but the one stat that I do know what the scale is, it's a 1 to 100%, and that is alcohol percentage by volume, and this is 6.7.
That'll knock you on your ass after a few of these.
It's for rolls. So
I like IPAs, not as much as you, but IPAs, if I'm ever kind of unsure about something and I feel like my taste buds can handle it, always IPA.
Yeah, they do. It just kind of attacks your taste buds in a way that I like, you know, with that kind of almost, it's almost a drier finish, you know?
One of the things that I came to find out about IPAs and hops in general is, have you ever drank 6 IPAs and wanted to go out and party and just get wild? Probably not.
Not really, because after 6 IPAs, you were sleeping.
And why that is, because that many hops, it's actually a sleep aid.
Oh.
It works the same as chamomile. You know, people used to bathe in it. before they would go to bed, and they would just get super sleepy. It's a sleep aid.
Shit, Jared, I wish I would have known that, say, maybe about a year and a half ago when I decided the one time in my life to take a sleeping pill, and during which I go to sleep, and apparently, according to my neighbor, because he saw me out his window, I went out my back door in my boxers and climbed a ladder in my fucking sleep, then fell off, landed on the fence, dislocated a rib, landed in the mud, and then got up to the top of the stairs to go back in. The neighbor says something to me. Apparently, I glare at him, walk back into my bed, and go back to sleep. I wake up with my fucking ribs hurting and a bunch of mud on my legs, and I didn't know what the fuck had happened.
And a neighbor you had offended, he didn't deserve that glare. That's bad form, man.
You know Johnny's not offended by anything. So yeah,
you should have just made tea out of hops and called it good.
I should have. I fucked that up.
Sleep aids.
I know better than that now. I'll never take another fucking sleeping pill.
You know,
again.
I've never taken a sleeping pill myself.
Oh, that was a one and only time right there. That's
NG. Yeah, and I've learned from that, so I won't do that. Actually,
you know what I do appreciate about you, Jared, is you not only learn from your mistakes, but you learn from mine because I don't learn from them, so somebody else might.
I benefit from all your mistakes, man. So I can laugh at you and learn. It's a win-win for me.
You're never gonna get married.
Win-win lose.
You're probably not going to have a kid.
No, none of that. I'm going to learn from that. Yeah, I'm not going to take a sleep aid, injure myself in my sleep, so I don't know what the fuck I did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that was because I didn't see Johnny till about, a day later, and I didn't know what the hell happened to me.
Somebody came into your room and beat you up. Maybe it was Tim Tebow, and that's why you had the nightmare about him.
Oh, that could be. That's true. Serial killer Tim Tebow nightmare.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Sorry. Total domination.
Yes.
What is the drinkability on the total domination?
On the Chica scale?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a 3. Maybe a 2. Like, it's low. Yeah,
it's pretty low. It's in the bottom percentile.
Very hot. If you're a hophead and you like hoppy things, then, you know, you like that envelope glue taste. But, you know, for the average, weekend drinking Chica, I think this is very, very low. She takes one sip of this and then gives you that look like...
She might spit it in your face.
Yeah, your semen tastes better than this.
Because it's saltier. Ladies like salt, right?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
But, I mean, if you're 18 years old and you're looking to get into a beer... Or a microbrew, or 21 years old, whatever the drinking age happens to be in America. Don't start with an IPA, especially Total Domination. You're going to hate beer.
Yes, you are.
Don't hate beer.
Go with a nice smooth brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, good beer.
I like it. I love it for an IPA. But, you know, it's hard to screw up an IPA to me. Just put a shit ton of hops in there and call it good.
Yeah. Exactly. I like it. That's my style
and
right there.
Go to bed.
Yep. Go to sleep. You don't climb ladders and you don't fall off.
Well, you climb ladders, but just take it easy. You know?
If you're going to climb the ladder, you better
pop out a fucking rib.
God, that was dumb. Ugh. All right. So there we go.
I think.
Total Domination IPA. Short beer review today.
Short beer
review.
If you guys have any suggestions also, we will be looking for them currently.
Mike,
still awards, Patty Crick.
Yes, I'm still looking for a couple of those brews that you had suggested, Mike, so I don't think I've forgotten about it. It does pop up every time I go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, and please, anything else that anybody else has, that'll be great. I'm actually going to go over a couple emails that we got. Just before we get to the NFL section, just to kind of bring some of those up.
Once I razz him a little bit about his Hawks.
Some of our, that's fine. Some of our listeners have had some good stuff, good observations about the NFL, and I'd like to kind of bring that into the conversation as well. So,
you know, one thing about the beers that you guys suggest to us is this place, Wardens, they constantly cycle in new beers, and they're bringing in different stuff. So if you recommend a beer for us to try, we go in the next day, maybe even the next week to try and find it. We're not going to stop looking for it because there's a chance it'll come in. And when it does, we will get that beer and we will taste it. We will like it.
And we will enjoy it. And I just realized I should be going to Liquid Planet as well. So I'll get on that.
I totally overlooked that place. Now we're going to try harder.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll do better, folks. Coming back up with some Chicken Scratch. Stay tuned. Welcome back, folks. Chicken Scratch time. And
your favorite part.
It is my favorite part. Even on a situation where it's a loss, it's still my favorite part because, you know, Jared, everybody, and it'll happen at some point for you guys.
Losses happen.
That first loss comes up and, oh my God, the sky's falling, you know, and we're the worst team in the league. People are fucking freaking out, blah, blah, blah. And I look at this loss and honestly, it doesn't bother me that much. In fact, I was actually a little more encouraged about the play of the team in its entirety in this game than I was about the way the team played against Houston.
Okay. And that's fair, too. The sky is falling, people out there.
Yeah.
There's always those.
Yeah.
Yo, this is week 5. And another aspect to getting a loss is you actually get it out of the way.
Yep.
You know, if you're ever wondering when's that first loss going to come, it's not so bad that it came against Andrew Luck in Indianapolis.
Well, that's the thing. Road game, 10 a.m. start against the number one pick in the draft from last year. Against a playoff
team from
last
year. Which he proved
every
bit of it. He has been this year, man.
Holy cow.
He's making some throws that are just unreal.
Well, that was the overriding storyline in this game, right? It was the Luck-Wilson duel. And it did not disappoint.
No, it didn't.
It did not disappoint.
It didn't. You know, at this point, though, I definitely think that Andrew Luck proved, you know, his worth of the number one pick in the draft.
Oh, shit. He proved it last year.
He was just unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, still... He's the number one pick in that draft. Even if you were to redraft right now, like today, you were going to redraft that draft. I think whatever team you are, I think you still choose Andrew Luck first.
Yep.
Just because
the rest of the pile has changed very much.
Very much so. I'm pretty sure Russell Wilson would,
number two.
He could easily be number two.
I think he would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he would be as
well.
I mean,
if I was drafted for a team and I could go back in hindsight and I didn't get Andrew Luck, I'd be going after Russell Wilson. You're a stupid ass if you don't.
He's the second best, or even 1A out of this draft class. The only difference is the height, obviously, and that's probably the only reason you still take Luck first is because it's just proven over time. Because
he looks like Johnny Unitas.
The sample size. Yeah, he looks exactly like Johnny Unitas.
He runs like him.
And that ain't bad. Russell Wilson doesn't look like anything you've ever seen before, so it feels a little new and different. But
looks like a slot receiver playing quarterback.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. It's Devon Best with the ball. But this game, interesting game. The quarterback duel, like I said, didn't disappoint. You know, even at one point during the fourth quarter, they had the exact same amount of attempts, completions, yards within one of each other, and touchdowns. And I thought that was pretty interesting. One thing you got to say is Andrew Luck, he's got the clutch in him.
He's the real deal. You know, when I was watching that last drive, I just rewatched that game again today. You got to give him a lot of credit. When he stepped onto the field somewhere in that second quarter, you know, he was a little razzled at first. He was making some overthrows, and, you know, he just wasn't quite as sharp as he usually is. He came out, and he's like, wait a minute. I'm Andrew Luck. I'm not a fucking afraid of anybody.
Right.
And then he just came out and started tearing it up. He was making plays with his feet. He was doing a lot of things. But in that last drive, when he didn't even flinch at anything and just went down the field, that was when I was just like, shit, dude, I think this guy's going to have it figured out soon.
Yeah, they blocked our pass rushers a lot more from about midway through the third quarter on. And
yeah, they made a solid adjustment there.
I think there were two things that played into that. Number one is they made that adjustment to the hurry up offense, and
that was a big one.
It made it tough for us to substitute, especially after, you know, playing an overtime game last week on the road, all that travel, you know, coming back from Houston and then back out to Indy, back to back road games and all that. That was a team that I think got a little tired as well on, you know, especially on defense. So I think that kind of showed up, especially because they switched to that no huddle offense to keep the substitutions off. And so you could see that fatigue set in a little quicker.
Well, and another thing that did to you guys is in the second half, it forced you to unwisely use your timeouts. So then in a close game, you didn't have any timeouts left.
Here's the thing about the timeouts. That's just fucking unacceptable. Every time they were used was in a situation where, yeah, I mean, I guess you call a timeout there, but was it really critical to the game? Actually,
they
not
were almost
really.
Freak-out timeouts. And who was your player? Was it Bobby Wagner? Somebody called the timeout in the end zone on that 2-point conversion?
I don't know who it was, but yeah,
I didn't think.
I don't think so either, because the referees were going to let Reggie Wayne like chuck somebody to the ground and then just catch the ball. So, you know, it didn't matter what we did on defense there. And that'd bring me to the other kind of big overriding point that, you know, a lot of Seahawks fans are harping on is the officiating. Here's the thing.
You can always harp on officials.
This game, I think you can legitimately look at it and say, you know, if you were to average out the calls, they probably were in Indianapolis' favor a bit. But do I think that that's something that you blame a loss on, or that you don't, that you look at and you say it was totally wholly unfair and blah, blah, blah? No, not at all, for a couple of reasons. Number one, Seahawks still had opportunities to win this game no matter what the officials called, okay? And they just didn't make a few plays towards the end of the game. You know, we'll talk about those more here coming up in a bit. But, you know, the game was there. They could have gone out and won it.
Well, then, anytime you bitch about the officiating, it's like if there were five or six or seven bad calls. You know, this was maybe one, maybe two that were missed.
I think it's closer to three to four. But still,
I guess it depends on how you were looking at the game. I thought a lot of those calls were good. I mean, the push off was bad.
The
you
three
know,
that I
fine.
Can come off just quickly would be the recovery of the block punt in the end zone by Jerron Johnson.
He didn't actually have that. It was being bobbled as he was out of bounds. He didn't have full control over it.
I felt like he had full control over it. But
well,
the
that's
thing
not
is,
what the video said, though.
Okay, well, can I finish the statement?
Go ahead.
Okay. I don't disagree that the ball moved a teensy tiny bit, but I don't think that that indicated that he didn't have control of the ball. But that's neither here nor there. The point is,
well, that is
it was,
the rule, though. The ball can't move.
Let me finish the fucking sentence. It's neither here nor there because it was called that he bobbled the ball on the field, okay? And it was really fucking close. And so if you go back to the replay booth, and the way that I can confirm that this was the thinking is that when they came back out of the replay booth, they didn't say that the call was confirmed. They say that the call on the field stands. And if you're on the road, that call's not going to go your way. And so at the end of the day, because it was really close and you couldn't really conclusively say one way or the other, I'm totally fine with them going with the call on the field. I think it was the right call at the end of the day after that.
See? I do too, just because, I mean, there's no question about it. The ball rotated as he was out of bounds.
I don't know that it rotated, but he just switched hands, and I think it just kind of had that illusion that it wasn't, like, within control of one
of
his hands.
And that's the rule. You have to have full control when you possess the ball before you go out of bounds, which he just did not.
Well, whatever. I still think that he did, but that's neither here nor there. Like, the call's fine the way that it stood is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
So
I just didn't think the officiating was that bad to where it decided this game at all.
Well, I think that two-point conversion is one right there. Boom. And I think the inconsistency on the pass interference calls in this game was absolutely maddening. Look,
but even the two-point conversion, even if they didn't get it, you know, you guys still lost by three.
Right. But here's the thing. We actually lost. What was the final fucking score?
Oh, no, you lost by six.
I was going to say, I thought we lost by fucking six. So it makes it, these things pile up over the course of a game. It changes the dynamic of the game. You know, you look at the pass interference on that last drive of the Colts towards the second half, and I think it was on Browner, and dude fucking runs into Browner's arm and crumples like a little bitch, and they call it pass interference on Browner, and the ball wasn't even fucking catchable. Fine, that's fine, because, you know, bad calls happen when you're on the road. But the one that was really bad to me as far as just an egregious call was the offensive pass interference on Golden Tate. They say he pushes off. Even the announcers are like, he didn't even fucking touch it, dude. This is a bad call. So there, you know,
I mean, Andrew Luck also got drilled on the head, which is an automatic penalty.
And Russell Wilson also got drilled on the last play,
you know,
of the
game.
So,
I mean,
that
you could sit here and go over and look at all the holdings,
right.
But really, are we having the referee blame discussion?
Well,
I try to make a full point for the Super Bowl, you know, and now here we are.
Okay. I try to make a full point. You interrupt me basically halfway through the point and accuse me of making like the wrong half of the point. Like, so with all of that, with all of those penalties, the Hawks still had a chance to win this game, and they should have. There were plays on the field that they just didn't make themselves. And that's something that is going to happen here and there. And I think a big part of it is that offensive line and how much we're struggling there. And you can see kind of the change in the way our offense is playing. You know, first couple games, we actually threw the ball well enough anyways. I mean, Russell Wilson had a 300 passing yard game. First game of the year.
Yeah, he had like 320 against Carolina, too,
right.
Which is a really quality defense.
So you see now with that offensive line, and you saw the big adjustment out of Russell Wilson, was that because they're getting so much pressure so quickly, it's either 1 to 2 reads and run, or that's it. I mean, there's no other option, or one read and run, because he's got to be a little more decisive on that. Either one guy's, because he's not going to have time to go through four progressions, you know?
So what I'm hoping that we don't have to deal with at this point is anybody talking about how Russell Wilson is a 1 to 2 progression and then run quarterback, because he just doesn't have the time to throw.
Yeah.
He has clear ability to go through three,
sure,
even a check down if he's got four receivers, all the progressions, but he just doesn't have time to do that right now.
No,
I don't
not
think
at
that's
all.
Any sort of fault of his whatsoever. You know,
exactly.
I was just, have you heard any of that yet? Cause I haven't, and I'm thankful for it.
You know, I haven't.
I figured
I think most people are able to look at the play of the offensive line, kind of like you were saying with your lack of pass rush.
Yeah.
It's just glaring. Like, it's
pretty obvious.
It's just there. The offensive line stinks right now, you know?
So who are you getting back in coming weeks and when?
Sounds like Max Unger is going to come back this week, which, you know, everybody talks a lot about the Okung injury, and that's,
dude, whatever.
That's
Max
understandable.
Awesome.
And, you know, a lot of people keep, you know, pointing towards the Giacomini injury at right tackle. I think Bowie is actually acquitted himself really well to this point.
I don't think he's that bad.
I mean, for a seventh-round rookie, I think he's been about as solid as you can expect. Mm-hmm. Has he made mistakes? Absolutely.
But he's getting some playing time, some solid playing time. So even, you know, down the road, if he becomes a backup, you're not as worried about it as you were before.
And he could eventually replace Giacomini, too. That's a whole other thing. But, you know, having Unger back is going to make a gigantic difference, and I think it'd be bigger than either of those tackle spots, even as bad as Paul McQuiston has looked at left tackle. But the reason I think that is your center's in charge of all the line calls, and even Pete Carroll's come out and said that there have been communication issues, and that's been a huge part of the offensive line struggles. And it'll take a little pressure off Russell Wilson, too, as far as the line calls go, in recognizing different blitzes and things like that. It'll help with that. I think you saw improvement from the offensive line from the Houston to the Indy game,
Though
the stats don't back that up. They say it was about the same as far as, like, I think it was 20 hurries in both games. But to the eyeball test, it looked like to me the offensive line gave Russell Wilson a hair more time.
Yeah. So when I look at what your guys' offensive line is doing right now, the way – I'm not just trying to talk about the Broncos, but the way I can relate it to my team is when we lack a pass rush, even if you have good coverage, it doesn't matter. So when you guys can't protect Russell Wilson and he's only completing 50% of his passes in a game, that's just one of the trickling effects of that. And I think you see a lot of that, whether your receivers are getting open. And I just have a question about that. I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But all I do know is if they have anything – more than a 1 second route, they're not gonna come open.
Well, here's the thing, you know, you're not the only person to bring up the receivers. There's a lot of Seahawks fans that are calling for Sidney Rice's head right now. People are freaking out.
Here's what I was
gonna
ask you. You know, I'd asked you about that. Well, we talked about their chemistry last time and it was a little bit off. This last game he had one catch for 8 yards.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing in the way he's playing out there as opposed to what everybody else is saying about him?
Right. So the first thing that I try to remind Seahawks fans is that 2 weeks ago, Sidney Rice had 2 touchdown catches. Okay. Like, let's all just remember that.
Good ones.
Okay. Yeah. Good ones. Okay. So, you know, he struggles in Houston a little bit, but that was the first game, the Houston game, where we were down those 3 offensive linemen. Now, you talked about the trickle-down effect, mm-hmm. you know, about no matter how great your coverage is, if you have no pass rush, you're fucked. Well, same idea here. You know, offensive line doesn't block. Your receivers don't have time to work and get downfield. Now, when I look at the way that would affect all of our different receivers, whether that's Golden Tate or Doug Baldwin or Sidney Rice, I think that that's the type of thing that would affect Sidney Rice the most because for a couple reasons. Number one, he's our guy that runs the intermediate to, you know, almost deep routes. Like, he's kind of our guy that runs the majority, especially those longish intermediate, maybe like 15-yard routes, you know, mm-hmm. things in there that 10 to 15
and even
yard
some
range.
That 10 to 15-yard back shoulder throw. Sometimes he's not even having time to do that.
Right. And so I think because those are the routes that take the longest to develop,
mm-hmm.
he's not getting as many opportunities. Now, he has had, you know, a few targets, and they say they haven't all been completed and all that. Some of those Russell hasn't been great on target with, number one,
he's missed a few, and that's maybe just a chemistry issue.
Yeah, or just, you know, just the fact that
just
Russell missed. Yeah, you know, I mean, that he's a
quarterbacks
human being.
Miss passes sometimes.
So I think that's part of it. But the other thing, too, I think as far as the offensive line not being able to protect and how that affects Sidney at the end of the day, Sidney's not a quick guy.
He's not.
He's not going to come, you know, busting off the ball and have like a quick stutter step and just be open.
No, he's not a slot receiver style of play guy.
And Doug Baldwin and Golden Tate are much more that way. And so I think that's the difference you're seeing is it's just because there's not enough time to let Sidney work because his type of receiving, his style of receiving is kind of a slower style as far mm-hmm. as like getting open and all that stuff. So that's where I kind of fall on the Sidney thing.
I think people are a little too quick to judge what's going on with him.
Well, the big thing that people are all freaking out about is just his contract. And they're like, he's not worth this kind of money if he's only going to put up with blah, blah, blah. Guess when you worry about contracts? Not now.
No, in the offseason.
In the offseason. I don't give a fuck who's making what. I want the best guy to be playing at any given point and playing as well as he can at that time. Like, and the contract is null and void. Otherwise, we'd be starting Matt Flynn still right now.
Well, and there's a thing to be said. You're also still taking what the defense is giving you. So if you're getting a really, really quick pass rush, that leads to Russell Wilson running for 102 yards.
102
in the game.
Yards. And that's the exact next thing I wanted to talk about was just this, again, is going to be one of those, especially in passing stats, where Russell Wilson and his effect on the game just doesn't quite show up. I mean, he dueled Luck.
Yeah, he had to do it with his legs. They were clearly two different styles of play, but they were equally entertaining.
They were. And, you know, speaking of Russell's 102-yard rushing game, you know, that was obviously a great game rushing. But our rushing offense as a whole looked great in that game. I was actually really excited about that.
There were some big holes and some good runs.
Yeah, so that offensive line, as much as I just banged on them in pass protection because they are abysmal, they've actually played pretty damn well in the run game.
They're good in their assignment-based offense.
They looked decent against Houston, and they looked better in this. There was improvement yet again. And I think that's a huge thing to kind of look at, you know, when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
You know, I also blame this loss a little on myself when it's all said and done, when we talk about the blame thing, because they were up 12-0, you were out helping somebody move. And So I shoot you a text. We're taking the Colts to the woodshed, and I swear to God, the next thing that happened was a T.Y. Hilton bomb.
That's what happened, because that's when I looked at the score, and I was like, what's he talking about? It's 12-7.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been.
Like, what do you mean?
30 seconds after I sent that text. So
yeah, you cursed him, man.
I cursed him.
You cursed him.
Yeah. So, you know, and then, you know, let's talk a little bit about the defense in that T.Y. Hilton bomb.
Well, can I have one question for you about the whole Russell Wilson thing, though?
Oh, sure.
You know, he runs for 102 yards. He basically, once again, has to put the team on his back and just try to make plays happen.
Mm-hmm.
With the way your offensive line is playing right now, how worried are you about him having to run this much?
I'm terrified of it.
Okay.
Hey, no, seriously, I don't like this at all.
I would be too, and that's what I thought about. I was like, if my quarterback was doing this, I'd be worried.
Pete Carroll even said on the radio, on his Monday morning show the other day, that he said Russell's done beautifully. What we need him to do right now in his flexibility and ability to get that done is amazing, but that's not how we want to be playing.
No.
He's like, we're doing it because we have to right now. And that's the long and short of it. So we need to get healthy.
I mean, and you're doing what it takes to play good games. You know, you're 4-1. That's a good record. And this is what he's doing right now. And you just, hopefully your guys come back, they come back healthy, and you don't have to keep this kind of offense going.
No, this is not sustainable over the long haul.
Nope.
And everybody recognizes that. And if you think it is, you're fucking crazy.
Well, that was my next line on this. How sustainable is this?
It's not. It's not. I mean,
no, because you're gonna get vicked.
Or RG3.
Or RG3. You don't want to have to do that.
So, yeah, I think getting healthy on that offensive line is going to be a huge, huge deal for us as far as...
It'll trickle to the rest of the things working out.
You can already see it.
Yeah.
You know, again, special teams wasn't all that great in this game. I mean, yes, we got the block punt. That's good. But Jaron Johnson, you have to have a little more situational awareness instead of coming in there to get on that ball at Mach 12 to, like, maybe slow down a step. And
exactly.
Or just simply knock it back
knock
to the five
back
dudes.
Knock it diving over it.
Yeah, they're standing right there. Mm-hmm. He put himself in the position to have that call made. So that's a little on him. Other thing on, you know, special teams was the field goal block. That was a turning point in the game, obviously. That's when I felt like the Colts actually believed that they were back in this game. And
they did, you know, you were right.
They got exactly one hand in the air on that kick.
Yeah.
And
that was right
hand,
where it needed to be.
It was perfect. It was well done by the Colts. John Ryan's got some wheels, though, man. He almost ran that fucking dude down.
He did run him down.
Yeah.
Fuck. Straight line speed for a... Jeez, man.
Yeah, he's got some guns. John Ryan, you know, he got on his horse from Canada, got down there and tried to knock him out, but he misses. And
he did.
So ends up being a touchdown.
That's where it was.
Yeah. Then he gets blowed up by one of the Colts while he's standing on the sideline. Like, the guy just sits there, points and laughs.
that's what you get. Punters, just get out of the way. You know, I know you're trying to do what you can, but you're a skill position and you're actually kind of needed.
I give him credit, though, John Ryan. That's good toughness out there.
Yep.
So, yeah, you know, that was disappointing. The other thing about this game and why we lost is, we just settled for too many field goals, and we moved the ball pretty well between the 20s. I mean, we had 423 yards of total offense, but, you know, we need to convert more on those third downs. We were fucking 16% on third down conversions as well. That's another huge deal.
Yeah, 2 for 12.
Yeah, and another big point-changing play in this game to me was that T.Y. Hilton bomb where on the busted coverage. Okay, fine, you busted the coverage. Shit happens. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that, right?
Those will happen.
Earl Thomas played a game out of his mind and was coming from everywhere on the field, but on this play, he goes running over to push T.Y. Hilton out of bounds and totally fucking whiffs him for the most part, like barely gets a hand on him. In the meantime, Sherman had fucking slowed up because he thought for sure Earl was pushing him out of bounds and just didn't continue to hustle. Guy gets by, and Sherman's out of position then at that point. Either one of those two guys could have prevented the points.
Should have made
the
play.
And maybe you hold that to a field goal instead of a touchdown. There's a big swing of points right there. They had time and time again to put this game away or to minimize some damage, and they let the opportunity go by. It's just one of those games, I think, is how it feels.
That is, and then when the game ended, you just weren't on the right end of the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I guess Russell Wilson gave his best Tony Romo impression.
Well, here's the thing. Number one, the play before, Sidney Rice is on an out route, and the guy flashes his left hand in front of Sidney Rice and knocks down, but his right arm is completely wrapped around Sidney Rice's waist the entire fucking catch. That is pass interference every time for life. Like, that's ridiculous. Doesn't get called. That's fucking bullshit right there. Then that play where he throws the pick, he throws the ball, and then the guy takes about three solid steps and blows Russell up. Like, it should have been roughing the passer. I mean, he fucking obliterated Russell. And, you know, that's 4th and 15. You got to just get the ball in the air. He knew that he had to get it.
Still goes in as a Tony Romo impersonation.
Not at all. Didn't lose the game. That didn't lose the game. No. A solid game by the offense. I think a solid game by Russell Wilson. Marshawn Lynch, you know, looked awesome again. I think that's something to hang your hat on. This isn't a loss. It concerns me. I feel like we came out slightly short after there were plays to be made. We could have won this game against a quality opponent on the road. I'm fine with it.
This is the first game that you guys have actually faced a good quarterback to. Yeah. You know, your other, like, yeah. Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, Chad Henne, Matt Schaub. These guys are all in kind of the bottom of the NFL right now.
Yeah, I'd say probably Kaepernick's the best out of those.
Yeah, and so, you know, this was your guys' first real
test.
But
he threw for like 123 yards last week.
Kaepernick?
Yeah.
Yeah, against who? Houston.
I know.
They blew up.
I know. They imploded. And he only threw for 123 yards.
So at this point, are you concerned that you guys struggled to play a team that your divisional foe blew out?
No, not at all. Because the reason that Houston got blew out is we stole their soul in Houston that game. They came into that game completely demoralized.
That
was a team that won.
Soap opera stuff, man. This is professional football. These guys don't
get demoralized.
Did you watch that game? Yeah. They just got beat.
They
have been getting
all
year.
A lot like when the Niners came into CenturyLink, and I remember I was on the sidelines. I was like, there was just dead. There was just no emotion. They looked like they just didn't want to be there. That's how the fucking Texans looked on the screen to me in that game.
They've looked like that every game this year except for against San Diego.
I think they came out pretty fired up against us. I think we got their best shot that game.
Oh, they're at home.
And, and you looked at that game. I don't think they wanted any part of it. And then they were completely deflated when Matt Schaub decides to get a pick six out of the way, like, just early in the game this time. Because they
got
just know.
Benched, too.
I think in that very moment, you know you're not winning the Super Bowl. You're like, this guy can never get it done for us, and we have nobody better on our team. So, yeah, I think the Houston Texans just fucking imploded on, you know, the national stage. So I don't read anything into the 49ers.
It's unfortunate that they have so many primetime games.
The Texans, I know.
It sucks.
So, no, that doesn't concern me much. I think we've played okay to this point of the season, you know, coming up to, you know, through week 5. 4-1, if you would have told me that at the beginning of the season, I would have been like, I'll take that. I mean,
it's a solid record.
You're
on top of the division, you know?
I'd say it's a solid record. Yeah. So coming up next week, we have the Titans coming into home. I just really don't have a ton to say about this. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It's without Jake Locker. You know, they are a good team. I think Tennessee is actually a much improved team over last year. But until you guys get a solid quarterback or Jake Locker back, you know, they're not going to be a very good team.
No, they're not at all. And, you know, as far as Ryan Fitzpatrick goes, I know what happens when he faces our secondary. He throws like 5 picks and gets beat in Canada. Like, that's what like that's what happens there. I don't fear CJ2K at all. I don't think he's all that good.
No,
he's looked like
shit
all season.
He's an overpaid running back. That's all he is.
And we play well against fast backs. So that's fine by me. It's the power backs we generally
struggle with. He's like Albert Pujols.
Yep. Real good tail off. Although Albert Pujols did it for longer.
Yeah, he did. See, yeah, Chris Johnson.
But maybe in running back years, it was as long as a baseball player.
Like dog years?
Yeah, exactly. Running back
years.
The
same equivalent.
Yeah.
7 years in baseball is like one as a running back.
Yep, exactly. So there's I just look at the matchups just quickly. It's our offense against their defense. That's clearly our offense, even with the offensive line the way it is, especially getting Unger back. You know, I look at our defense against that offense. I think that's clearly a mismatch there. Special teams, I think our special teams are better, too. We're at home. It's at the clink. We're 10-0 at the clink in our last, you know, since Russell Wilson became our quarterback.
Mm-hmm. This is a game that you guys should not lose.
Nope.
That's for sure.
Nope. We're not losing this
especially
game.
From matchup standpoints. There's just not one that you guys are lower than.
Yeah, the only way that they lose this game is if the whole team takes a shower at halftime and comes back out and it's been 2 hours too long. Like,
Amen. No Wes Welker shots
like
here.
Wes Welker in an Old Spice commercial. So.
Hey, he's just having fun.
Yeah.
He's just winning games.
I don't know. I could sit here and wax on poetically about the fucking Tennessee game, but I'm not because we're just going to fucking win. What else do you want to know?
That's it. I don't want to know anything else.
Okay, fine. Cool. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like my Jag segment. Just we're playing
whatever.
The Jaguars.
Yeah. Titans at home.
Win. Talk to you next week.
Okay, cool. All right. So stay tuned, folks.
NFL segment.
NFL segments where we'll reveal the winners as well as maybe get to a couple of your emails. So stay tuned.
If you're lucky.
Welcome back, folks. Time for the NFL segment. I'm not going to lie. We took a little extra break there, Jared, and
we did.
Each pounded a couple more beers.
We were gone for a little while.
Honestly, I think we had some mutual anxiety about talking about our team's last game. How this could all work out. You know, whether we were going to be able to talk about both those games rationally and nicely or both be uber dicks. I think we did okay.
We did okay. There were some dick moments. I pulled one out for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Happens. No, I thought that was low for you. I
improved.
Yeah.
Improved.
So now we're able to drink a couple beers and feel a little more relaxed about
okay.
this.
Now I think we're moving on to the NFL segment. Not as much turmoil.
Yeah.
Not as much.
Exactly. We can just rip on the rest of the NFL because everybody else sucks worse than both of our teams. We can at least agree with that.
All right. So should we start with the power rankings?
Yeah, let's do it. Just rattle me off your top five.
Broncos, Saints, Seahawks, Chiefs, Patriots.
Yeah, I figured that's where you go. I mean... I can understand because on record you would put the Saints above us, but I honestly think if we played 10 games against each other on a neutral field, we beat the Saints still right now. More times than not.
So I'm up in the air about that. I just see I see the Saints playing some clean games. You know, they're pretty disciplined, not a lot of penalties.
They're a good team, but mentally,
I think they're a little bit higher than where you guys are at right now.
I don't think it has anything to do with the mental game. I just think it has to do with offensive line play on both sides of that matchup, whether it's Saints or Seahawks. Saints have been getting exceptional offensive line play. And, man, that's exactly what you want to give
and
Drew
Brees.
And
they're rolling. I think Drew Brees and Sean Payton are kind of – I think a lot of the rust is off now.
I think we
turned it on.
I think we'd still beat them. So, I don't know.
So, who do you got?
I got number one, I have the Denver Broncos. I do, but I think it's like 1A, 2 for me, Seahawks.
Still got the Broncos 1. This is big for you. This is the first time all season I think you put them up there, wasn't it?
No, I think I put them up week 2.
All right.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe not. Fucking listen back. I don't know. I feel like I've done it at least once before.
Okay.
But look, I mean, that's just trying to be rational. I think that the Broncos are the better team for over the course of a season? No, but I think right now where we are at this point, due to health, part of it, but due to chemistry too. I think you guys are a little more polished in that way. I put you number one at this point.
Okay, number two.
Okay, so number two is the Seahawks.
Okay, number three,
which is 1A, and then I have the Saints because I also respect the Saints. I put them in a close third. But like I said before, I just think we beat them more times on a neutral field.
Number four.
In 10 games. Number four is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
And number five is the Patriots. So that was my top five.
All our top fives are the same.
Yeah, like every week.
All right.
God.
There are five teams in there.
Yeah.
Every week.
Well, at least we had a Seahawks-Saints discussion. I almost kept that interesting.
All right, so let's get to the picks here.
Okay, so the picks. So last week, we had a lot of people enter once again. Kind of the same players, which is good to see. Glad to see you guys sticking with it.
A lot will enter. A few will win.
Greasy Pro Bowl had yet another solid week with 9.
It's because of the name.
Well, it's because of something. But unfortunately, man, you were not the winner of this week. That would have been our friend Tori Mauerman. Well done with 10 correct picks. Some of the picks that she had that I think everybody would have been a little weirded out by or just didn't think that they were going to happen is she had the Jets over the Falcons.
Fucking Jets.
She also had Oakland over the Chargers, which I think most of us found to be surprising. And, I'd say those are the big ones, those kind of upsets that put her over the top. So, good work by her.
Congratulations, Tori.
I, however, came in one pick behind you.
Yeah.
In this one, Jared.
Everybody needs to check the new cover photo.
A 6
we
to
just
your
put
7.
It up. We just put it up. It's nice.
Yeah, it's
it's looking right at us right now.
It is up on the screen across the room here, and it's actually kind of funny.
It's or John, awesome.
John Elway giving a thumbs up, but his thumbs up happens to be directly over top of the Flock of Donkeys logo, so it almost looks like he's thumbs upping the podcast, which is actually pretty funny. So check that out.
Best cover photo yet.
On the Facebook page there, A Flock of Donkeys, D-O-N-K-I-E-S. Good stuff there. So, yes, Jared, you got one more pick than
me. All right.
You got to set the cover photo. Congratulations. Right. So let's get into the picks for this week.
All right, Thursday night, Giants in Chicago.
Chicago.
Okay. That's a fairly easy one at this point.
Yes.
All right. Cincinnati at Buffalo.
What the fuck, Cincinnati?
You know, I looked at their game last weekend. It was just a sloppy mess against New England. It was a sloppy, rainy, rainy game.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really take much from it. I still don't know.
No E.G. Manuel for Buffalo. So, you know, what the fuck does that mean? Mm-hmm. God, that's got to mean disaster for them. Okay, Cincinnati.
That's what I went with, too.
All right.
All right. Detroit in Cleveland.
Well, Hoyer, God, what a bummer for that dude, right?
Like, yeah.
Aren't
sorry
you a
about
little
your
sad?
Knee. I'm a little sad because I thought maybe he had a little bit of a spark this year. Maybe something was going to be generated out of this, and then before you know, he's just done. So we don't get to see as football fans.
Tears his knee, done for the year.
Feel bad for him. So who are they going with? Are they back in fucking Whedonville?
Yeah, they're back with Whedon. But Whedon led him that whole game to that victory pretty much this last week. Fuck, I don't know. I got to say Detroit, I think.
Reggie Bush is a factor in Detroit.
He is.
And he's playing.
Well, there you go.
So I'm with Detroit, too.
I always go with Bush.
When in doubt. When in doubt.
Yeah.
All right. Oakland in Kansas City.
That's got to be Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City's not losing in Arrowhead.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially at Arrowhead.
Nope.
I mean, Terrell Pryor's back, is he not?
I think so.
And Matt Flynn's a free agent.
He's a third stringer right now.
No. He got released.
Oh, he
dude.
Did?
He got released.
When did that happen? How did
like
I miss
yesterday.
That?
Yesterday.
Fuck, I missed that.
He's fucking
done with him, huh?
Overskies.
Wow.
Yeah.
See ya.
A year ago, he was signed to be the starting quarterback of your Seattle Seahawks.
Jeez, and now he's out of the league.
That's insane, right?
Well, life's probably going to be better outside of Oakland.
Do you think he just ends up back in Green Bay?
Oh, quite possibly. He knows the system.
Mm-hmm.
Graham Harrell's gone.
Yeah.
They got some fucking dude I never even heard of.
Yep. And he looked abysmal in the preseason. Mm. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
Okay.
So anyways, Casey.
Carolina in Minnesota.
Oh, but no Josh Freeman this game.
No Josh Freeman.
But, boy, how much better does that make that team?
It depends on how long it takes him to learn the offense there and everything.
I think he's a pretty bright guy. I think he's going to pick it up pretty quick.
I think he'll be playing, and he might be playing in 2 weeks from now.
You don't think next week he's the starter?
No. I think he's going to sit that week, and then I think he plays the following week.
So you think he sits 2 full weeks and plays the 3rd week he's on the team?
Yeah.
I think he plays a week before that.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, it'll be interesting. See, I think he makes that team better, right? Like Christian.
Oh yeah,
Ponder's
overall, he's definitely
fire.
He's better than Christian Ponder, and he's better than Matt Cassel.
Right,
hands down.
Doesn't
he just had to deal with a shitty coach.
A little dangerous then?
I don't know about dangerous because I don't know how sold I am on their defense. Really,
that's how sold I am on Adrian Peterson. You give him just a barely of a legit passing game to work with. Holy cow!
Might open some things up.
I think so.
We'll see what happens. I have a hard time getting behind the Minnesota Vikings.
I know.
With I know. Josh Freeman.
But anyways, okay. Who's Minnesota playing?
Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina. Yeah, that's my pick is Carolina.
Carolina's
I think that
defense is stout.
Yeah, it's legit.
They're good. Okay.
Makes that week one win over them feel a lot better on the road. Because they're a good
Feels
team.
Better than that sentence coming out of your mouth.
Sure did. Jeez Louise. Boy, right. I've been totally dominated by the total domination IPA.
Yeah, it's been a rough night.
Yeah.
We'll call it that. Pittsburgh at the Jets.
Toilet bowl. Actually, not
this
really.
Is,
the Jets
no,
have
the
a,
Jets are a legitimate team right now.
3-2. Geno Smith, like, he had a little clutch in him.
And their defense is pretty good, actually. Their defense is not bad.
Is Rex Ryan actually going to save his job this year?
I just want him gone.
I think he might actually save
He's
his
somewhat team. Entertaining, though, because every year you think the Jets are just going to be the most abysmal team ever, and then they rack up some fucking wins somehow.
Look, I'll take that as long as it keeps Rex Ryan coming into press conferences and doing, like, sideways things.
Like, it is a form of entertainment, that's for
fun.
Sure. All right, Rex, keep your job.
Yeah. Okay. Plus, if no team takes Hard Knocks, then they'll make a team, you know, have to take Hard Knocks. And
It'll
I
be
just,
them.
Yeah, Rex Ryan will take it every year, so you never have to worry about your team being on there.
That would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, Rex Ryan will do it.
So, Pittsburgh or Jets? Did you pick that yet?
Fuck. Where is it? Pittsburgh?
At Jets.
At Jets?
At Jets.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jets.
I took the Jets.
Okay.
Dude, Pittsburgh's horrible. Their defense, they cannot keep up with anything. You can run a screen against them. They can't
catch
up.
I just figured that's a veteran team that puts together like 1 to 3 solid games this year.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I think they're too slow.
Yeah, I think they're slow too, but I still think a Dick LeBeau defense is tough on a rookie quarterback like a Geno Smith.
You want to pick him?
No. I'm just making an argument as why it was a more difficult choice than it should be just by record.
I get you.
Yeah.
All right.
I made my pick.
I got the Jets too.
Yeah.
So we're even on fucking everything so far. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay.
That's Philly all the way.
Yeah. Tampa Bay is just going to suck.
I don't care if it's Nick Foles or Vic in that game.
No. I think Nick Foles might be the better option for a little while.
Do you really?
Vic's just playing hurt, man.
Well, yeah,
he's just already banged up.
Yeah, well, he's been taking a lot of shots. I think he's held up pretty well considering how.
Oh, he has, but you know he's fucking hurting every game.
Yeah.
I mean.
But I think overall Michael Vick's the better quarterback, right? Like, you're just saying just give Vick some rest.
He's played
well, I thought, this year.
He's played pretty well. I think he's just already getting banged up, and I think it's only a matter of time before he's done.
Yeah.
Again, because that's what happens to Vick. So, you know, maybe give him an extra day to heal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I got Philly.
Yeah, Philly for sure. Okay. God, Mike Glennon, man. He damn near beat the Cardinals, though.
The Cardinals.
Dude, Shiano, he's a fucking asshole.
He's the worst coach in the NFL. Is he? Is he taking over that now?
I think he absolutely is. He has taken a roster that actually has talent on it, alienated its starting quarterback, effectively gotten rid of him halfway through his season while going unbeaten. Congratulations. Way to kill a team.
Where's Jim Schwartz ranked to you as far as coaches go?
That's an interesting question because he's had some real ups and some real downs.
Uh-huh. I think he's in the bottom 20.
I think that's a guy who's going to have, if he can somehow get some sustainability, he's going to have a better back half to his career than his first half of his career. I think he's a little too emotional. Mm-hmm. And it shows in his coaching and in the way his team plays and all that. I think once he mellows out and gets a little older and, like, you know, just has some years under his belt, I think he'd be a better coach then. I'd say maybe right now he's like the 18th best coach in the league.
I was going to say if I had to really tally it up, I'd probably put 20 coaches in front of him.
Okay. I'd say that's about the same.
Probably.
Yeah.
I said bottom 20, but that didn't even make any sense. I didn't even understand that. All right, what do we got? Oh, Green Bay and Baltimore. No Clay Matthews for like 4 to 6 weeks or some shit.
Yeah. Remember last pod I said there's always that one team that's like supposed to be good that ends up not being good?
Are they the team that was supposed to be good but are going to end up not being good?
Well, I think that team is actually Atlanta. I just think there might be two of those teams this year. And I think the other one's Green Bay because of this injury. That impacts them huge. And who does Green Bay got this week?
Baltimore. That's why it's hard in Baltimore. I struggled with this one. I had to take it easy. I mean, no Clay Matthews, but it's still fucking Baltimore. I don't know about Baltimore.
And you could get a good Flacco game.
You could get a good Flacco game. That always it doesn't always happen, but it can potentially always happen.
Yeah. Shit. Green Bay has fucked me all year. Whatever I pick is the opposite of what happens with Green Bay every single week. I haven't hit on a Green Bay pick all year.
You should pick them.
I'm going to pick them.
All right. I picked Baltimore. Where's the fucking highlighter, man?
Oh, I don't know. It's over here. We'll get it here in a second.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know where anything's at.
Just I'm put like a star by it or
underline
something.
Underline it.
There you go. See?
That's a loss.
We deviate from the system.
Okay. St. Louis and Houston. This is an interesting one to me. I'm not going to watch the shit, but it's an interesting game.
It's not often that you actually watch the moment a team completely implodes as a team, like as a viable team, like it happens in a moment. And I think that's what happened to that Texans team on that Sherman interception. I think that completely crashed their year, and it's in their head. They're terrible now, but St. Louis. Good God, St. Louis.
You know, I think the same thing happened to St. Louis when they played the 49ers and lost that game.
I think that could
be
true.
So it's two teams that have hit rock bottom at this point. Pick one. You know? Like, what the fuck?
Fuck. I don't know. Is it in Houston?
It's in Houston.
I'm going to guess that the Texans can run the ball better still. Going with the Texans.
So did I. Okay. For all those reasons. Jacksonville and Denver.
I think I'm taking the Jaguars here.
For the most gigantic upset
if
ever.
If I get the 28 points.
No.
Oh, well, then I'm going to have to go with Denver.
All right. Tennessee, Seattle.
Seattle.
New Orleans in New England.
This is a really good game.
Could be a shootout.
This is a big game for the Patriots.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch this game.
What are the Patriots now are what, like 3-2?
No, they just lost to Cincinnati.
Right. Didn't that put them at 3-2?
I thought they were. Oh, no, they weren't undefeated, were they?
No.
So
they were 4-1.
Yeah, they're 3-2, I think, now.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong. No, maybe where the Patriots were undefeated. Fuck.
Let's drink more beer and then figure it out.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, point being,
New Orleans and New England.
This is a tough game. A big game for the Patriots just because they need to, you know, accumulate wins to try to get that number one seed in the AFC.
Not going to happen.
But New Orleans, I don't know. They beat Chicago on the road, and that's a good win. I mean, Chicago's okay.
Take your time, man.
New Orleans. Fuck, I'm sorry.
I picked them too. Same fucking game. Jesus, this is entertainment. Arizona in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Me too. Fucking Washington and Dallas. In Dallas.
Fuck, Washington's been an enigma to me this entire season too. They got me a win last week though. Tony Romo, how does he traditionally play after one of his fucking fuck-ups?
I don't know. I have no idea. He doesn't either.
God, I don't know. I guess... Fuck. This is a really tough game. Guess I'm going Dallas.
All right, so did I.
No, Washington.
Fuck, all right.
Yes.
There's a difference.
It was that close to me. And knowing that you picked fucking Dallas.
Washington sucks.
So does
Worse
Dallas.
Than Dallas. India.
You just say that because they played you guys tough.
Colts in San Diego.
San Diego. I'd say Colts.
Me too. Wow, that was entertaining.
I think the Colts are
glad we
good.
Disagreed. Fuck. Stop picking my teams, man.
A little too agreeable, Jared. Probably not good.
It's not going to happen too much as the season goes on.
Yeah. Well, because Brandon also beat me in the picks this week, I will be putting the form up tonight. So get your guys' picks in for this week on A Flock of Donkeys on Facebook, DONKIES. Check
That's where
that
it's
out.
At.
You can find it there. Make your picks or else you are lame. So, Jared, I think that's all I had to say.
I think
for this
that's
week.
All I got to say, too.
Okay. We were a little low key this week. Sorry, folks. Maybe next week, a little peppier.
We'll give it a shot.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, whether it's in John Elway or John Schneider,
in John's we trust.